All right, we're back. So it's pretty obvious as we get closer to the deadline, assuming that the Mets continue forward. And I think over the next 2 weeks, we've got an 8-game road trip to Washington and Pittsburgh. Not an easy road trip. I know everybody's looking at it salivating. The Pirates are a tough team, so have a good starting pitching. We get possibly get a chance to see Paul Skeens. The Nats have one of their top hitting prospects being called up. Probably remember that the Mets swept them a couple of weeks back, so they want to be able to maybe exact some revenge. And then they come home and they face the Nats at Citi Field, and then the Rockies, a bad team. But when you're the Mets and you're this 500 team and you've shown inconsistency throughout the season, nobody is beneath you in terms of soft schedule. You have to treat everybody like they're the world champs. So I think if the Mets over those 14 games could go 9-5, come away maybe with a 49-46 record into the All-Star break, I think we pegged that as kind of a goal a week ago, they'd be in really good shape. You know, maybe 48-47, maybe they stub their toe in an extra game. I think that's where you want to see them be. And right now, with the way the wild card race, there's some separation. The Cubs and the Reds and even the Nats and the Pirates are kind of stepping back. And the Cardinals and the Padres are moving forward. I think it's still too soon to tell how this thing is going to separate. But you're going to start to see separation over the next couple of weeks. I never believed you'd have this muck of mediocrity into the All-Star break. That's why it was so important for the Mets to play well in June. And not only play well, play at the next level well. Because it firmly puts them more at the top of the cream more to the top of the mug than the cream in the middle or the sediment at the bottom. So we all know, based on the open, the real party pooper here, the real grim reaper in this whole situation is the bullpen. And the Mets have made some bad moves with the bullpen. And David Stearns, I think, has really been aggressive in trying to go out, fill out the roster with non-roster invitees, scrap heap arms, looking at things from a different angle. I think the Johan Ramirez designated for assignment. I know Tonkin's pitched well for the Yankees. That might come back to haunt them, Johan Ramirez. And then the Rule 5 draftee that they wound up trading to Boston, Justin Slayton, he's actually one of the top 10. I'm on Fangraphs now. Top 10 pitchers out of the bullpen in the league. I mean, really mind-boggling how they gave him up. So when I start to, the first thing I did is let me look at Fangraphs. Let me see who this season is lining up as some of the best relievers in the game. And where are their teams at and who could potentially become available? But before I give you some of the names I'm looking at, and I have one wild idea, and I'm not sure that it's feasible, so it's totally me just spitballing. Let me give you the danger of where the Mets are at with acquiring bullpen help. I'm going to give you a couple of bedtime stories. I know it's only, well, at least now when I'm recording this, only 8:30 on a Sunday night, but I'm going to give you a bedtime story, and these bedtime stories might be scary, so buckle up. One I've talked about before, because the last thing you want to do is do what the Red Sox did in 1990. And you probably have heard this story before, and I apologize if you have, but let's not assume you have, and maybe you haven't. But the Red Sox were looking to win. They were like an on-again, off-again team in the late 80s, early 90s, win a division, go to the World Series in 86, lose to the Mets, win a division in 88, lose to Oakland, win a division in 1990, lose to Oakland in the postseason. But as they were trying to win that 1990 division title, they needed some bullpen help. And there was a really good veteran arm in Houston. The Astros at that point were about to rebuild. They were on the back end of anything that they had positive going on from the mid-80s. And his name was Larry Anderson. You might know him because he's been a controversial announcer for the Phillies. Really hates the Mets. I think had some choice words for Jose Reyes many, 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 many years ago. I don't know if Larry Anderson is still announcing Phillies games, but it doesn't matter. So the Astros wind up, hey, we'll trade Larry Anderson to the Red Sox for this low-level minor leaguer, which, hey, no problem. Nobody knows who this guy is. His name was Jeff Bagwell. And now you know that Jeff Bagwell went on to become a Hall of Famer, and he was acquired by the Astros in that 1990 end of the year at the deadline or right after for Larry Anderson, a reliever that helped the Red Sox that year and helped them make it to the postseason. As a matter of fact, I'll bring up Larry Anderson's stats. Larry Anderson, who pitched another few years, had a 1.23 ERA for the Red Sox down the stretch. It was awesome for them and actually pitched pretty well years after that. but he was in his late 30s, and Jeff Bagwell, well, you know what happened. I'll give you another story how it gets a little interesting. This is where you have to be careful when you acquire relievers. Remember Eric Gagne? The old Gagne was, and I think I always said his name wrong back in the day. Let me make sure I'm saying his name wrong. Gagne, yeah, Eric Gagne. Eric Gagne won a Cy Young Award for the Dodgers. Elite, elite, elite closer. Saved over 50 ball games back-to-back years. And after he had, I think he had some injuries for the Dodgers after the 06 season, he comes back and he's pitching well for the Rangers. Now, if you look at the peripheral numbers, Gagne did not have the same peripheral numbers as he did with the Dodgers. So a little bit of a red flag, but he was north of 30, had come off some injuries. So it's not totally unexpected that the guy's not going to be the same pitcher as his elite prime years. Well, he was having a good season out of the Texas bullpen. Here we go. The Red Sox are involved again. Red Sox, who wound up winning the World Series in 2007, needed some bullpen help. Well, let me go out and acquire Eric Gagne to come in. Now, it wasn't as bad as the Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell trade, which, you know, we all know where that went. But they also gave up a pretty decent hitter in David Murphy. They gave up a couple other minor leaguers. Actually traded three minor leaguers. One was David Murphy, who had a decent career for Texas. Was actually a piece of those Texas teams that went to the World Series. Had some pop. Let me see. Was he a lefty batter? Yeah, he was a lefty batter, outfielder. He was a guy that helped the Rangers later on when they were winning pennants. And look, it was at the end of the world. He's not a Hall of Famer. He wound up having a decent career, you know, little above league average for his career, career batting average of 274, 765 OPS, a decent hitter, had a decent 10-year career. And basically, Eric Gagne came to the Red Sox and he was bad because he was done. And that's the other thing you have to worry about with these type of relievers. The Mets have seen it happen in their history. Billy Taylor coming over and the Jason Isringhausen for Billy Taylor trade. Another nightmare bedtime story in 1999. Remember the old Chuck McElroy, Billy Taylor? Because the Mets in 1999 were very heavily relying on their bullpen. Because, sounds familiar, their starters couldn't go deep. So you have to be really careful if you're the Mets and you're David Stearns going out there and acquiring these relievers. Because who knows what you're going to have to give up from your system. And who knows how that's going to come back and haunt you. Now, you don't want to stand on your hands and be afraid to make a deal, but acquiring bullpen arms is tricky. Like we had said in the open, you don't know what happens to some of these guys when the lights get bright. You don't know how, and it, look at David Robertson last year when the Mets, who got a couple of very useful low A minor leaguers, look at Jeremy Rodriguez, who's a highly regarded prospect for the Mets, what they got for Tommy Pham. When you start giving up these very low-level minor leaguers, you just don't know what you're giving up. And look at Robertson. He went to Miami, and he was terrible after he was really good for the Mets. When you acquire a bullpen arm at the deadline, after these guys have been settled and you uproot their lives, you just don't know. So there's a certain amount of variability that comes with these kind of moves. It's not fantasy baseball. It's not Strat-O-Matic baseball. There is human beings here. So this is a tight spot the Mets are in. So what do I think the answer is? Well, first, before we talk about outside answers, I think there is some internal answers. I think, and I know everybody's been talking about it, I think David Peterson and Tyler McGill, and I'm not saying it because his brother's doing pretty well out of the bullpen in Milwaukee, you really have to look at them as potential relievers. McGill is somebody at this point who can't go deep into games, inconsistently goes in and out of dominating to being awful. And let's face it, unless the Mets are going to trade somebody, they still have, and this is a crazy thing to think about because they don't have a dominant anchor top of the rotation arm, but they have a plethora of choices where you've got guys like Christian Scott and Jose Buto in AAA who really should be and would be in most rotations throughout the league. I mean, you know you have Severino and Manaea who are going to give you some decent outings. Quintana is frustrating and inconsistent, but he's more than likely going to give you a veteran outing. You put Buto and Scott, and then by the way, Senga's about to start a rehab assignment. We don't know what you're going to get out of Senga, but who knows, maybe in a half a season you could get something really spectacular. I mean, the guy was headed towards being a top 15 pitcher in the game last year. So you're really set in the rotation. So you could start to look at, heck, maybe even Christian Scott starts to come out of the bullpen. Maybe Buto comes out of the bullpen. You really have those options right now internally to see what you have. The bullpen's shaky now, even with Diaz back. But Garrett and Hauser and Nunez, and I think, let's say Reed Foley comes back and can stay healthy the rest of the year, that's not chop liver. Right now, you're relying more on Foray, Scrap Heap, Adcock, Danny Young, guys like that, because of where you are right now. Tyler J, so on and so forth. Who knows? Maybe one of these guys is Justin Slayton and all of a sudden hits their potential. We'll see. So there is some internal options, and I think it's very important over the next couple of weeks into the end of July to see, especially with McGill, are they capable of filling one of those roles? Because as you get towards the deadline and you look to see who's available, and a lot could change, I'm going to read off some of the top 10 relievers that are out there. And you're going to see most of them are not going to be available. The number one reliever in baseball, Mason Miller out of Oakland, is somebody that's going to be desired. And you know that the A's, total chaos over there, don't even have a home right now. The guy's 2 years still arbitration eligible. That's going to cost you a haul. That's the kind of pitcher, and who the heck knows how healthy he stays. You're going to have to give up something of pain to get a Mason Miller, or why would Oakland deal? So let's put him, and that's a fantasy. Matt Strom is with the Phillies. He's going nowhere. Emmanuel Clause is with Cleveland. He's not going anywhere. Hoffman with the Phillies. He's not going anywhere. Brian Hudson with Milwaukee. He's not going anywhere. Justin Slayton. Damn, there's that name. Boston. He's not going anywhere. Hunter Gaddis, Cleveland. He's not going anywhere. Griffin Jacks, Minnesota. He's not going anywhere. Cade Smith, Cleveland. He's not going anywhere. Kenley Jansen, Boston. Well, I think the Red Sox are kind of still in it. We'll see. Maybe that's a possibility. But right now, I wouldn't count on that. Fernando Cruz, Cincinnati. All right, maybe he becomes available. Ryan Walker, the Giants. All right, maybe he becomes available. Here's the name that now comes up, number 13. A name that you probably are going to say, hey, we just beat this guy a couple of weeks ago. David Robertson. He's out there. And that's where my big idea comes into play. Because you're going to think this is wild. So now I look at the standings today. Now the Rangers are the defending champs. They're 8.5 games out of the division behind Seattle. We just saw the Astros, who are ahead of them. They look pretty tough. So I don't know what they're thinking right now. And then you go to the wild card. The Rangers are 8.5 out of a wild card spot. And the wild card in the American League is a little bit more unachievable. It's not that mediocrity bunch like the National League with the Yankees and the Twins and the Royals making up those three. So it's very possible that the Rangers, world champs, I know, unless they make a run over the next couple of weeks, they may be sellers. So, is it crazy? You're already paying his freaking salary. Where you go back to Texas, hey, I'm going to take these guys off your hands. And I think Max Scherzer would probably have to approve it. Why wouldn't he? And you find a way to take Scherzer off their hands. You pay the rest of that salary for the year. And you get Robertson and you go back and you get yourself a potential pitcher that I know he's an injury risk and I know he's probably not the same Max Scherzer, but he could anchor your rotation. You're pretty much bringing back the 2022 band here, the 2023 band, and then you bring in Robertson and you finally get an opportunity to see Robertson set up Edwin Diaz. And you know Robertson could close when Diaz can't. And if Diaz implodes, Robertson could close for you. Now, what would that cost in terms of prospect capital? I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what Texas is looking for. You know you could give them financial relief. You're already giving them financial relief by paying a ton of Scherzer's money. If you're going to pay for the damn guy, why don't you bring him back? How crazy would that be? Now, I wouldn't give up Acuna to get him back. Wouldn't do that. But maybe you could find a way to satisfy the Rangers. Are they going to be looking to say, hey, you know, I'm not about to, after giving up Acuna, who's a nice player, but I don't think he's going to be the painful acquisition or the painful loss that a Bagwell was many years ago. But, you know, you start to go up and down after that. Oh, there's Kirby Yates, that's also the Rangers. Trevor McGill, he's not going anywhere. Milwaukee, Ryan Helsley, St. Louis. Nick Martinez, Cincinnati, yeah, maybe. Hunter Harvey, Washington, maybe. Then you got Craig Kimbrell, don't really particularly care for him, but he's with the Orioles. Andres Munoz with Seattle, he's not going anywhere. Josh Hader, Houston, he's not going anywhere. Andrew Nardi, Miami, all right. Dylan Florio, Washington. All right. You know, but you start to look at some of these names, like Dylan Florio, Floro. It's like, why can't the Mets get something better internally? And even if the Mets are in it, you know, with either in a wild card, a couple of games out, hovering around 4 or 5 games above 500, around 500, it's not a team right now. Now, you want to get into the tournament, and there's anything could happen once you get into the tournament. So you never want to pass up an opportunity to make it to the postseason. But I wouldn't, and I was like this in 2022. I wasn't about to say with the needs that that Mets team had, I said the incremental improvements of your chance of winning a championship to give away a Beatty or an Alvarez or at that time a Vientos to fill a DH spot and some bullpen help, it wasn't worth it to me. And it proved that Billy Epler didn't believe that either. And that's why they got a Michael Givens and went a little bit down the ladder. Now, they gave Colin Holderman that probably, I remember my first reaction on that trade was, ugh. And then I tried to warm up to it, and Vogelback was pretty good there for a couple of months, but we know where that went. But if you look at between Slayton, who they had, Holderman, Johan Ramirez, man, they had all these solutions. They're just with other teams. But projectability when it comes to bullpen arms is tough. It really is. So this is an interesting time to be a Mets fan. A lot of good vibes, but the Grim Reaper, maybe he's dressed as Grimace, hanging over everybody's head. And you know what he's throwing at us? He's throwing at us some walks out of the bullpen, blown losses out of the bullpen. And hey, you can solve your problems. All you got to do is give up some really good prospect capital to get a reliever that may or may not be better than what you have now. So over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I know one thing's for sure. It's going to be a hell of an interesting ride. And that is something that we did not think we were going to have just even a couple of weeks ago. Just around Father's Day, we weren't sure if we were going to have it. And now, lo and behold, the 4th of July is here this week. And there's been a lot of fun baseball. And it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to have fun. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's okay to have fun. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And don't forget the newsletter. Go to Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG and sign up. It's the same as one cup of coffee every month. And of course, I want to thank the good folks of the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the holiday week. Big road trip ahead. More to come. Till then, take care, everybody.